Well, Father, the very scriptures that were read says that your word, scriptures, cannot be broken. So, Lord, I just pray that as we dive into your word, the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth that we can stand on, because your word can't be broken. In Jesus' name, amen. Fascinating set of scripture. I would just encourage you, each of you, at some point, get your Bibles out and just sort of ponder what it says. It's a little bit of a turn in this chapter. But again, let me just, when the Jews got mad because Jesus said, I and the Father in verse 30 are one. It's a pretty powerful statement. Now remember that Jesus is saying this as the incarnate Son of God. He's saying this as the God-man, as God in human form. He's saying this as the human God, that the Father and I are one. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And then Jesus asked the question, so I've done a lot of works. There's been a lot of things that you've seen me do. Which one of those works are you stoning me for? And they said to him, well, we're not stoning you because of any of the works that you've done. Though there were works that he did that made him mad, like healing on the Sabbath. That was true in the John chapter 9, chapter 10 story. The man who was born blind, he was healed on the Sabbath. But they said, we're stoning you because you've said that you were God when you said that the Father and I are one. And Jesus says this. He quotes from the Psalm, Psalm 82, verse 6. Has it not been written in your law, God saying, I said that you are gods, little g. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, not just to anybody, but if he said that you are gods to whom the word of God came, those whom the word of God came to, he says, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified, talking about himself, the Father set apart, and sent into the world, you're blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do them, though you don't believe me, you may not like me personally. You may have a problem with the fact that you know where I came from, that I was a carpenter's son, all those things. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father's in me and I'm in the Father. Now Jesus said, again in verse 30, the Father and I are one. And then he says, if you want to believe me, you may not believe in me, but believe the works, so that you can understand that the explanation for the works is that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. That's what makes us one. Now he's not speaking as, he's speaking as the, again, incarnate God, the human. Earlier in chapter 10, we talked about this yesterday and several times in the last couple of weeks, but this is sort of fun stuff. Verse 14, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own. The word again is to experience intimately. I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Well, how did the Father know him? In what way did the Father know him? He knew the Father. He said, me and the Father are one. I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. And he says, I know my own, and they know me in the same way. So hang in there with me. This is what he says in John chapter 14. Now, one of the things I want you to see, I'm sorry, that I think is really cool. In verse 32, Jesus, and he answered him, he said, I showed you many good works from the Father. He didn't say that he was responsible for the good works. He said these works were from the Father. You've heard us talk about the fact that we don't live for Jesus, we live from Jesus. Jesus wasn't living for the Father, he was living from the Father. The Father was in him, and he was in the Father. He and the Father were one. Then he said, we have the same relationship with him that he has with the Father. Verse 10 of chapter 14, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, But the Father abiding in me does his works. The Father abiding in me works from the Father. It's the Father who does them. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. And then he says in verse 20, in that day, the day of Pentecost, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So that's a fulfillment of what he said in John 10, that I know my own, and my own know me, even the same way as the Father knows me, and I know him. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. I and the Father are one. And on that day, on Pentecost, in that day, you shall know that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. In chapter 17, he reiterates again, verse 21, that they may see, that they may all be one, even as the Father art in me, and I'm in you, that they may also be, Father, in us. Verse 23, I'm in them, and Father, you're in me. So the whole point again, the same relationship Jesus has with the Father as man, we have with Jesus. The Father's in him, he's in the Father. I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. He and the Father are one, Christ and I are one. We're not the same. I'm not Jesus, but we're one. There's a oneness, union. So Jesus says this about us. I have given them thy word. I'm sorry. I think it's the next third chapter. No, it was just, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What does he say here? Because we're in Christ, and Christ is in us, just like he was in the Father, and the Father is in him. There's something otherworldly about us, just like there's something otherworldly about Jesus. We're not like normal people. We're not like any other creature. There's something otherworldly about us. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So this statement, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. What happened when he goes to the Father? The Holy Spirit comes, and now Christ is in me, and I'm in him. Christ and I are one, just as he is one with the Father. So what does he say about you and me? There's something otherworldly about us. And the works that Jesus did, we can do even greater. It is so significant for us as people, as Christians, that we have a consciousness of who we are in Christ that doesn't nullify us from the things that God's called us to do, that doesn't so minimize us that you have such a false identity of who you are, that you have low expectations of what you carry in this world. There's something otherworldly about you. Again, after saying that he and the Father were one, Jesus says, has it not been written to you? Because they said, you're cute, you imagine that you're God. Has it not been said to you that you're gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God has come, the scriptures cannot be broken. That's not a word for everybody. It's a word for us. There's something supernatural about you. Jesus is what God believes about you. He doesn't believe you're Jesus, but he believes you're one with Jesus. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your relationship with God is his. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, therefore, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you're revealed with him in glory, the real you, the true you. That's otherworldly. We really do have to understand who we are in Christ. And the reason we don't step into situations to see the supernatural manifested, because we've stepped into it, is because we really don't understand who we are. You're not like other people. You're different than other people. You're not like any other creature in the world. You carry, in union with, the very life of Christ, just like he carried the life of the Father. Therefore, we live from Jesus, just like he lived from the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. It just helps me understand that when Jesus again said to them in chapter 9, just before he healed the man born blind, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day, for the night will come when we've died in this body and we won't be able to do these works. It's almost as if he's saying, have a blast conquering the works of the enemy while you can, because you're not like anybody else. You're not like earth people. There's something otherworldly about you. He would even use the term little g gods. There's something different about you. There's something heavenly about you. We can make a difference because we are able to make a difference. And it's not just by being sweet and kind, which is part of the life of Jesus, of course, but there's something peculiar about you. There's something otherworldly about you. And we've been loosed on the earth. We've been deployed. Why aren't we making more of a difference? Because so many Christians, though they're born again, they treat Christianity just like another philosophy. And it's all in their head. And they don't understand that what you're capable of is what Jesus is capable of. Just like what he was capable of is what the Father was capable of. And so I wonder what Jesus' self-consciousness was as human. I wonder what his expectations were when he would wake up in the morning, because he slept and woke up in the morning. And I wonder what he thought about in the facing of the day. I'm sure he was super conscious of his relationship with the Father, that the Father lived in him by the Holy Spirit, his communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He enjoyed all that. You know, Jesus was tempted in every way like unto us, yet he didn't sin. So he was very conscious of the Father's capacity to keep him in a place of victory. But he was also conscious of how many times is he going to get to touch someone and change their life supernaturally, change their world, rock their world, overcome evil. Don't you know that he thought about that a lot? He didn't just pass by casually. He was looking for opportunities to do that again. That's who you and I are. You carry that same thing. But only when we step out will Jesus show up. It can't just be that something we believe because we're charismatics. It's a life that you live. It's things that you do. And we're just scratching the surface. Jesus said we should be doing even greater works than he did. What? He says the word of God can't be broken. Well, I'm standing on that. That word can't be broken. That's true. That's true about me. So I'm looking for opportunities. Amen? I'm raising the bar of my expectation. Jesus said what he said. He said that I'm not of this world any more than he was. To have the same relationship with him he had with the Father. Wow. Because I can do what he did, but even greater things, because he's living me. And okay. We need to probably, for CTKers, do this on a Sunday morning. We have a little bit more thought about it, but that's just a stunner to me, to help me remember I'm not like other people. How many times has Hollywood sort of projected what really isn't human beings? They would love to be other. They would like to be above the stuff that they deal with. They'd like to be able to make a difference. So we have all these superheroes. Why is that so fascinating? Why is that the most popular shows in the world? Why do we have supernatural monsters like werewolf movies all the time and vampire movies, yet there are supernatural creatures, supernatural bad guys and supernatural good guys? Because innately they understand the cosmic war, but don't know how to explain it. Well, you're one of those superheroes. And there really is a supernatural enemy. And he really does awful things to people. And you and I can undo it. We can overthrow it. Even heal people who are born blind. That's where I'm setting the bar. Because the word of God can't be broken. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.